My guest this time is Kyle Condick. He is the managing editor at Sabatow's Crystal Ball. On Tuesday, the Crystal Ball for the first time projected that Democrats will win control of the House of Representatives in the midterm elections. They say it's slightly better than 50-50, and of course, a lot could change in the next 100-plus days. But there is a shift happening, and we're here to discuss why. And Kyle, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, the Democrats need, what, a little less than 20 seats to flip in order to win the majority. What are you seeing in terms of momentum for them?
So they need to net 23 seats. And so, you know, this is part of the just history of American politics. When there's a party change in the White House, all of a sudden there's sort of a political burden for holding the White House that is transferred in this case to the Republicans. You know, of course, during the Obama years, the Democrats had two really bad midterms in both 2010 and 2014. And if you just go for the long history of American politics, going back to the Civil War, there have been 39 midterms. The president's party has lost ground in the House, 36 of those. And the average seat loss is 33 seats. The Democrats need to net 23 seats. So certainly it would not be historically odd for Democrats to win the House. And if you just look at some of the national indicators, the president's approval rating is kind of in the low to mid 40s, depending on the poll you're looking at. National polls that ask people who they plan to vote for in their local House race, Democrats are generally up in the kind of mid to high single digits. Democratic fundraising has been pretty good. Not to say that Republican fundraising isn't bad, it's just the Democrats have been having kind of extraordinary quarters in terms of the last fundraising quarter. You know, you just sort of put it all together, and you'd probably rather be the Democrats than the Republicans, both based on the district-by-district analysis and also the national indicators. But, you know, as we mentioned in our piece today, and as we've sort of stressed throughout the cycle, you know, I don't think it's a slam dunk for the Democrats by any means. And also, you know, it's quite possible that the race for the House could come down to a few seats here or there. And so, you know, if you're thinking, oh, the Democrats might win 25 and they only win 22, well, that would mean that, you know, the Republicans would keep the House. And so it could be something that ends up being very, very close.
When you look at Democratic enthusiasm, we saw it in your home state of Virginia last fall with a much bigger than expected win for Democrats, both in the legislature and certainly in the statewide races. Are Democrats fired up about their particular candidates, or are they just really fired up to stick it to Donald Trump?
I think it's got a lot to do with just the president. And again, that's not just about Trump, although you know, if his numbers were better, there might be a little bit less exposure for Republicans. But, you know, I mean, there were these kind of funny anecdotes about the 2017 Virginia gubernatorial race where, you know, people were, you know, asking, reporters were asking voters, about, you know, about Ralph Northam, the eventual Democratic winner, and of course now the governor. And, you know, they didn't seem to know a whole lot about him, but they did seem to know that they were casting a vote against President Trump. And I think that's what you might see in November too. And, you know, one thing we've seen from polling, and the Republicans had this advantage in 2010 and 2014, and now the Democrats generally do, in terms of asking people, you know, how enthusiastic are you to vote this year? Democrats usually lead on that question. And again, it sort of speaks to the enthusiasm and balance that you sometimes see in American politics. And, you know, honestly, I think that for voters, anger can be a great motivator. The angrier party right now, I think, is the Democrats.
Given the intensity and the polarization, is the smart what do you expect from Republicans, I guess, is the better question. Do you think that they'll try to peel some of those people back or just fire up their own base?
I think they're trying to fire up their own base. I think we've seen in Republican advertising and, you know, that they've been sort of stressing some of the themes that the president has stressed. I'd say particularly on the immigration issue, they're trying to criticize the Democrats for being too far to the left. I think they're also raising the specter of Nancy Pelosi being the House Speaker again. Many Democratic candidates have actually, you know, disavowed Pelosi, but Republicans still see her as a very useful foil for them. I think the problem is that I think that in a year like this, where the Republicans do control the federal government, both Congress and the presidency, that, you know, voters, I think, are probably taking Trump more into account than they're taking Pelosi into account. But, you know, if, in fact, the Republicans hold the House, I'm sure that they will cite some of their Pelosi advertising as a reason for that. And we've seen that be an effective strategy in the past, albeit when Obama was in the White House. And again, so I guess the dynamic just changes. But I think that Republicans are just going to try to match the Democratic enthusiasm, which I just think can be hard in this kind of environment. You know, a presidential election is a different story. It's a bigger electorate. You know, significantly more voters come out. But a midterm environment can be more of a, you know, smaller electorate and a playing field that's sort of slanted one way or the other.
Last 30 seconds, I have a hard enough time finding statewide polls on Senate and governor's races. How do you guys get the pulse of all these House races?
You know, we don't have good polling in a lot of the places, and you know the national party committees are doing polls here and there, although even they don't have perfect knowledge about these districts, and so a lot of it is based on the history of the district, our sort of subjective view of the quality of the candidates, you know, past performance, demographics, and you just try to do the best you can. But yeah, I mean, and you know, as we've seen in the past, you know, even polls at the statewide level are not always correct, and so there's a significant amount of sort of projection and guesswork that goes into it.
Well, got quite a bit of time here before you got to lock them in for election day, Kyle.
That's right.
Thanks for the update, as always.
Thank you,
Kyle Condick, managing editor at Sabatos Crystal Ball. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.